So when you're speaking to somebody, hear them before, hear them during, hear them after. And earn the right to have the conversation. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right? That it's like you're just always hearing them and you're always double checking yourself. And mm-hmm. that's when we were just talking about a few minutes ago. If you're speaking to somebody and you've uncovered something and it's like, hey, is this still real? Is this still relevant? Do I understand this and or you correctly? Do I have it right?
Yeah.
I have it right? No.
And then they feel heard. Yeah.
They feel heard. And then it becomes that collective conversation. Like you were saying, I just want to know what's going on. And we're always talking to somebody.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the second part of my conversation with John Duffin.
Do you deal with leaders in communications?
Yeah.
So how can they better communicate? Because like there's a lot of people, you know, who are looking to them for that mm-hmm. leadership mm-hmm. and it will sort of color everything that happens in that company. So how would you suggest that they communicate with the people that are working with them?
God, Jody, that's such a good question. And really, I'll do what I did prior, which is give the easiest, most direct answer right up front, and then we can elaborate. And the easiest is if you did nothing more than talk to people, not at people. Put your bullet points away. Push your PowerPoint slides down for a moment. Look at them. If it's an in-person, literally look at them. So I just had a podcast guest on today. And it's that ability, and they talk about one of the business traits they admire a whole lot, and it's the ability to repeat. Hey, if I heard you correctly, I understand that you're looking for, that you're seeking. If I heard you correctly, I understand you're concerned about. Giving a speech impresses nobody. Now, Jody, remember when you were just saying, hey, it's always a conversation? Leaders, it's always a conversation. And I mean always. So you're going into a conversation. I don't care if you've had 500 hours training in Canva to put your bullet points on and they go, they jump and my AI, it's who cares? Talk to people, talk to them. Don't talk at them. If someone feels like they're being listened to, heard, understood, it goes a long way. You don't have to give everybody everything they want and need, because sometimes you're just not capable. Maybe the circumstances just don't allow it. But if you're acknowledging that you're addressing a specific concern that actually matters to them rather than some made up sort of thing, you go a long way. So you want to gain, you want to keep your teams, you want to keep them not running out the door. They need to know that you're willing to fight for them. And the way that you prove it is you speak with them. Keep them in the loop whenever you're able. Mm-hmm. And then I'll add one more thing, which is include them in as much as possible. And if you're going to err in terms of the information, right? Err on the side of give them more. Don't give them less. Don't undermine them in the sense other, the people that you're leading, right? Oh, they can't handle it, or it's top secret, or I could never allow. Most of it isn't. Really, most of it isn't. So if somebody feels like they have a picture and you're being consistent with that vision, and if the company's vision changes, pivots in any way, you're bringing them into the pivot and change.
That's a good point. Yeah, I think people just want to know what's going on.
my God, that's such the perfect way to say it. And when you hear it, when I hear that from you, Jody, it's like, who would disagree with, hey, yeah. I just want to know what's going on. But people do this all the time. They're going to take the decision-making away from you. You can't handle it. You wouldn't get it. Oh, I couldn't, because it's really undermining in terms of culture and in regards to, again, team building, team leading, execution. So this works if you have a team of one person. This works if you have a team of 1,000 people. Just talk to them. Just talk to them. Hey, I sent you a text. Oh, I put it on Slack, or you know what I mean? And you're like, oh, that's fun. Please don't. Just talk to them every once in a while. I know you're busy.
Yeah.
They're probably really busy too. Trying to help you. And so it's like, that's what it comes down to me.
And if they have bad news to tell people, how would that best be communicated?
Honestly and authentically.
Okay.
And because I'll steal the line you just shared. Most people just want to know what's going on.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yep.
Here's when I'm at my worst, right? Is predicting what's going to come in the future. By the way, I'm terrible at this. As a human, I don't mean boss, leader, community. As a human, I make up all kinds of scenarios. Very few of them are good. Unless I'm reading my own affirmations out loud.
I think we're all like that.
Right.
We all take the worst and put it in our head and act from that a lot of the times.
So, Jody, if that's true, and I believe you're right, me withholding information is doing damage. Me needing to put some Pollyanna salesy spin on it. Yeah, but Jody, this is going to be great because, you know, even though we're taking 3 members of your team off you, what we're going to get to do is more. The damage that does when you think about has that ever happened to you, Jody, where somebody was going to try to decide how you feel and give you news accordingly based on what they think you're going to do?
Oh, I'm sure it happens all the time.
I'm saying to you personally, but, you know, has it ever happened to you?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I may not ever know.
That's the worst. And oh, I love that, because if your mind can be like me and you said that's most people, and I agree, and you don't know, you're heading in some crazy direction. I can't say never, but I'll bet you it's closer to never than always for me. If you tell me exactly what's going on to the best of your ability, I don't ask you to predict the future. I don't ask you to manufacture a happy ending for me. What do I look for? And what do I try? What do I convey anytime? When I'm doing it right, hope. That's all I want. I want to know what's going on. Again, thank you. And hope. Hope. It's the thing when I'm speaking to an audience now, it's really important for me to remember that without speechifying it.
Yeah.
Or I don't think that's a word, but I mean, but
I get what you mean though.
Right? Like speechify or finish it. It's really important to give hope. And so bad news, make it relatable. I've been in these situations. I've shared bad news. I'll promise you this. Early on in my managerial career, I was terrible at that. I was terrible at it. I'd rather tell you nothing than try to spin it. And don't help them. Just, again, come from a point of empathy. You know, again, get the speech out of it. Just talk to somebody, because bad news is bad news. I remember in corporate, for me, people being laid off, that happened so frequently.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh my God, so frequently. And I would,
especially in radio.
Especially from radio. Especially. This was whole departments, whole regional divisions. I'm lucky in my life because I can name a number of business leaders that really helped me. By the way, I always believed, not I always believed, but my experience has garnered with me that I'm lucky. Some of the best bosses I had in my life were women. Women tend to be more empathetic, and I could make, and that becomes more believable to me, which means I would fight harder for them because I believed them. And that man, I'll tell you, it's like you could feel that someone was trying to pretend to solve your problem when they couldn't and try to make themselves feel better.
Yeah, that's a trick. I mean, it's all confrontational in a way, right?
And sure. And
lots of us don't want that.
No, so, I hate confrontation. It's awful. It's
as
tough.
As a leader, I'm sure that, you know, you know what you're into, or you know what you're in for. But often a lot of leaders are pushed into that position. They're not given any training. So,
well, that's it. And so here's the training from, like, rather than damage control. They're taught damage control. I know that. I could say that firsthand. They are taught from a company perspective, don't say too much. Don't say too much. Here's your talking points. You know, look sad when you say this and don't say, what if they ask a question? Don't answer it. Just read. I've heard this. So being empathetic simply means without blowing up your company or defying what somebody said is literally, again, remember, you just keep it simple. You're relaying bad news, a layoff, a poor performance. You didn't get the job. I didn't get a lot of jobs. Let me give you an example. The best way I've ever heard somebody say it. This person literally says, hey, John, he called me. She's like, and she was like, hey, John, you were great. I wasn't able to select you for this position. I am going to be going with, I think it's all she said. And it was plenty. And because she just was nice about it. It's like, did I like it? No. Did I want to then in turn, you know, create havoc? I don't like her. I'm going to unfriend her. No, not at all.
Well, it's good that she called you in the first place. I mean, often that never happens at all.
So Jody, here's the craziest part of me going from the sales part where I was in a very B2B field. So at the very least, thank God, did I take this for granted? People would let you know, hey, I'm going to go with ABC or blah, blah, blah instead. We just did. It was a professional courtesy. Toward the very end, it happened less than less, and you'd hear people say, clients and or colleagues, oh, it's just not the same anymore. I didn't realize that's what they meant. So I go into a voiceover field, of which you do your audition, you send your audition.
You hear nothing.
And then I'm waiting, and I'm like, whoa, somebody's going to talk to me. Somebody's going to say nothing.
Nobody says, silence.
Forgive the pause. I didn't just mentally check out. Yeah. I want to say that gap of air was so unsettling to me. And by the way, it still is.
Yep.
The sense that nobody says nothing ever.
Do you want to sound your absolute best when you're being interviewed on a podcast or when you're hosting your own show? I have a podcast episode and free downloadable worksheet called Sounding Your Best as a Podcast Guest off of the audiobrandingpodcast.com main page. Just click on the little square graphic to the left of the player displaying my podcast trailer. It gives you some comprehensive suggestions for where to start or for improving the sound you already have, including the type of microphones to consider and why, ideas for soundproofing your recording environment, and suggestions on how to get the best sound when you're being remotely recorded on services like Riverside FM or Squadcast. Don't let bad audio quality hold you back from being the best podcast guest or host you can be. And of course, if you happen to need voiceover for your intro and outro, feel free to get in touch. I'm happy to help. And now, back to the podcast.
It took me a really long time to get right with that. So how do I fix that? I don't in the field that we happen to be in, but what do I do? any opportunity that I'm speaking where I get to, I just respond. I can't fix an industry. Nobody yeah. asked me to. I don't feel proficient, but that dead air that I threw out there to me was unnerving. So you either get right with it, which I've chosen to do. That's how it goes. You get used to it. I just put it out, that ability to let go, I do. And also, any chance where there is a follow-up involved and I'm involved, I follow up. Meaning my coaching clients, meaning if it's a sales-related or a business-related, and they're expecting me to follow up, I'm going to. I'm simply going to.
That's a big part of communication that a lot of people miss.
Right?
Yeah.
But I had to learn. I always did. And as I said, I took it very much for granted because I thought mm-hmm. That's how it goes. And that sense of, well, I did 30 auditions today. How's it go? I don't know.
We'll never know unless we get the job.
Never know. Never yeah. know. And that six month gap that I told you about earlier, mm-hmm. that was almost insanity for me. Right?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, if you're just starting out. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's one of those things mm-hmm. that you need to learn. And unfortunately, often you learn the hard way.
Well, that's
because
it.
There's no precedent.
There's none. And I don't know that it's ever going to change. So that's where it's like you understand, again, it's the preparation becomes really vital because it teaches you things. And that ability to know things takes a lot of mental angst away. Oh, so I've sent in the auditions. When will I find out? You won't. You get the job. You'll know. Otherwise, you won't. When do I follow up?
They won't tell you.
You don't. It's like
I'm right with you, though. Like, as far as planning is concerned and research and understanding and being prepared. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, my particular personality is that mm-hmm. type. Like, I can't not be prepared if I mm-hmm. walk into something because mm-hmm. otherwise I'm freaking out.
Right.
I'm not sure everyone is like that, but.
Oh, they're not. Oh, they're not. Because it takes time, diligence. And I know that sounds really self-serving on my part. Oh, they're not. Because I've watched it and it drives me crazy. And the only things I'll say about this is here's how that is fixable. Where you're not getting the results that you want and you wonder why. And we talk about preparation and that seems, I just like to go in and here's how it's fixable. The ability to prepare does not take weeks and or hours. I was taught this by one of the best sales trainers I ever encountered. I remember his name is Paul Shapiro, and he was paid a fortune. Him and his colleague Sue Anderson came in and trained us. And I'll never forget that sense. He's like, okay, to someone who was trying to sell the idea that they don't need to be prepared. And selling badly in this case, and it was going nowhere. He said, all right, well, here, this makes you feel any better. He said, and it was awful, but it was so on point. He goes, have you ever heard of Google? And this person, the salesperson back, is actually all put out. And we're right. He goes, go to that bar atop. And he's really leading in hard now, right? And he's like, go to that bar and type whatever the hell you feel like and hit enter. He said, and your answer will come. We were doing this real heavy corporate training, right? And he said, oh, what do you know? And I'll just make up a company. You know what I mean? Pepsi white paper. Oh, what do you know? Every pressing current problem was on it, and we needed 6 seconds to get to it. So when you call whoever you're speaking with at, again, made up company, Pepsi, when you call and you ask a question and you're speaking with someone and you say, hey, look, I noticed in the white paper that one of your pressing needs happens to be blah, blah, blah. Wouldn't a nice question happen to be, is that still relevant to you? Has that changed? The other person that was getting talked at and finally was grasping it, like literally look like they discovered America, you know? But it's just, there's a respect factor when you're talking to somebody. not so I come off like some brainiac. It's more like I respect you enough to wear headphones.
Thank you.
Because I respect you, not because I need to ace every test, although I do. I'm very competitive in that stuff.
I get it.
Right?
I get it.
But I respect you to the point where I'm going to honor because you were nice enough to have me on the show. And when you and I did the pre-talk the first time, it's like, well, I'm not sure what we would talk about. I don't typically have, you know, I don't typically have voiceover, like talking voiceover. And it was like, I loved that you allowed me because you allowed me to know what was in your sphere. And so rather than fight the easy reality, it's like, fine. Okay. Great. And now I know that. And because I honor and respect you, I'm going to, in essence, let you know where I'm coming from so you don't have to guess or wonder or worry, you know? And that's the other part in terms of effective communications, whether it's your family, whether you are the president of the board, whether you are talking to your stakeholders, whether you are talking to your sales team, leadership team, management team, any and every team. And the quantity. I've spoken in audiences, my next speaking engagement, that'll be several hundred people, and I've spoken in front of one, you know? And are there technical nuances between the two? Yes. But the heart of it remains the same. Ask questions that someone would want to answer. Be prepared enough so that when you ask them a question, that they feel like, oh, they took the time. Isn't that nice? So I'll talk to you. Talk to them, not at them. And when you're providing solutions, remind them why you did. Because if you just start yapping about what you can do for somebody, it turns people off. Mm-hmm. But if you were say, hey, look, remember when we talked before and you talked about, and we talked about that part of, in terms of, you know, making certain that you pre-checked it. Here's what I chose to do. Human nature for most people will be inclined to be like, oh, that's nice. Oh, that's cool. So that when you ask a question and they tell you what's really going on and they drop their guard and they allow you to, that's the stuff you solve. And when you do, that's when change happens. Whether mm-hmm. your relationship gets better, you see the smile on someone's face, you see the relief on their face, because now you're solving a problem that really matters to them. And the weirdest and the best part is, then they, the client, the colleagues, the team, then they're inclined to want to help you. So once all of that guard drops and we're both authentic and you've earned the right to do this and somebody feels comfortable and confident enough, they're going to make your job easier, not harder. And that's, to me, the magic, the gift, right? And yeah. I wish I had known it when I was younger. I wish I had known that when I was worried, would you find out I'm gay? Apparently, that was not a very difficult riddle for most people to solve, as I learned.
Okay.
Held that deep, dark secret for forever, and no uh-huh. one was surprised. That's uh-huh. that, but that's on me. You know what I mean? And it's yeah. like, but people make it easier. And that's mm-hmm. really what I feel like is the art of communications is that both people or all people, regardless of the quantity, want to make the process easier because it best serves them.
And communication has changed so much over the years. I mean, we've had all these technological mm-hmm. advancements and AI mm-hmm. and all of this stuff. I mean, if people wanted to do research, now they can go into like Claude or ChatGPT or like
just all came of up these. Last night, vidIQ, and or Descript. I run my this just yeah. last night. Yep. We were talking, but at the heart of it and by folks, by all means. Do that. It really is your friend. But don't leave out the human dynamic. Don't, you know, that it's making you as a communicator stronger when it's used properly. Don't be lazy about it. Don't, in a sense, have it do all your homework. Proof the damn thing.
Oh, and yeah.
But fact checked, proof, but utilize it so you're not anguishing or just lazily, you know, I'm going to formulate my questions. I'm going to take 6 months. There's zero reason to do that. Mm-hmm. I believe the job of a strong communicator when I'm doing it right is I'm focusing on the stuff that actually matters. And I use AI gleefully, ChatGPT, Claude, you know, vidIQ, Descript. I have Opus Clips when I'm doing content.
Sure, yeah.
But there's a human dynamic to each and all of it. And so the job is don't get bogged down with minutia because everyone is busy. A lot of people are worried. A lot of people have a lot on their minds. And so understand their time is at a premium. So when you're speaking to somebody, hear them before, hear them during, hear them after. And earn the right to have the conversation. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Right? That it's like you're just always hearing them and you're always double checking yourself. And that's when we were just talking about a few minutes ago, if you're speaking to somebody and you've uncovered something and it's like, hey, is this still real? Is this still relevant? Do I understand this and or you correctly? Do I have it right?
Yeah.
I have it right? No.
And then they feel heard. Yeah.
They feel heard. And then it becomes that collective conversation. Like you were saying, I just want to know what's going on. And we're always talking to somebody.
Yes. Yeah. In voiceover and communications of any kind.
Always.
Yeah.
Any and always. I love it. Right?
Yeah, definitely. So what are you working on now that you can talk about?
Happy to share.
You were saying you have a speaking gig coming up.
I do. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah? The things that I'm focusing on, I get to speak a little bit more. In April, I'll be speaking. This select audience has a lot of real estate people and a lot of finance people.
Okay.
The audience is I was hired to speak, and my topic is the art of authentic communications.
Okay.
The direct spin is more like the direction. And thank you, Jody, that like going in this direction in regards to like the process rather than sounding like an announcer. I remember you and I talked about that before. Like I'm not teaching anybody that. I for God's sake. Or people asking me, oh, are you going to teach me voiceover? And I'm like, well, first off, only if you want to. And no, because I think there's people more qualified to teach. I can share my experience, but I think there's better people for that. And so I always say exactly what I just said. But when I'm speaking, it's tailored toward business, but one of the things that I make certain when I speak to anyone, which is it's always going to be tailored to the audience, and it's really going to be tailored toward the organizers. Mm-hmm. I don't like flat, lifeless, same old speeches. I don't like that. I really do. And the hope part is I want to give people hope. I want to remind people that it was not an easy, direct, you know, from, oh, I think you have a nice voice at some whatever Starbucks to.
Oh, there's a lot more that goes into it than that.
There is. And a lot of it is either grunge and or difficult and or demoralizing.
Mm,
right.
It can be. Yeah.
And I share. I don't say that to bring people down. I just and I don't say, well, you got to be realistic. I say it with the most hope because the whole gift is being resilient where you need to be, learning where you know you have to learn, understanding and accepting who you're speaking with. So my job is anytime I'm speaking, it is tailored to the audience as close to each individual as I can. I don't speak at people. What else am I working on? I already have created, and I'm really excited about this, a full online course. I coach people on one-on-one setting and I coach people in a group format. Mm-hmm. And I've also created It's a video online communications course.
Congratulations. That's Thank a lot you. Of work.
Yeah, it was. And it was very gratifying in the sense that it felt especially good that it's over 3.5 hours of video content. But what I chose to do in this case was not bludgeon people. So the longest video of all of them is 7 minutes, and most of them are in the 2 to 5 minute length range. Hopefully you've got the bandwidth to go 2 to 5 minutes.
I think most people do.
Right. Yeah. But I don't want to, like I said, I don't say 3.5 hours to intimidate. It's a very comprehensive course. I call it my wall of fame. It's not just my direct experience, although I committed this to me, and I hope that matters to someone else, which is I have directly experienced every single thing that I'm sharing, whether I've worked directly with those who have trained me, or that I have emulated or modeled, or I've actually lived the experience. So I never want to be the talking at people. So that was really important to me when I created the course too.
What's it called?
Yeah, it's called Your Message Received. Okay. Get your message heard, understood, and improve your results. But the short answer is it's called Get Your Message Received. And what I mean is your intended message without mm-hmm. distractions, without people filling in holes that you don't want or finishing your sentences for you and being wrong. And so
happens a lot, I'm sure.
Cause everybody's going to literally predict. So whether it is. Yeah. And I teach in situational, when I talk about mindset, there's way more talented people that could teach long-term mindset. So my thought is to steal from a new Mel Robbins book, let them.
I know we're all super busy and pulled in so many different directions these days. So I wanted to take a moment to celebrate and thank the people who have taken the time to review this podcast. Playing Games writes, great show. Jody has a terrific voice and great podcast. The content is meaningful and substantive for serious podcasters, folks interested in audio, and anyone interested in learning how audio, sound, can enhance their brand. Well done, Jody. And thank you, Playing Games, for your fabulous review. I so appreciate that you took the time to do that and that you're enjoying what we do here. And now, back to the show.
I teach situational. My mindset techniques that I teach, which is, you know, you're going into a meeting in 20 minutes and you're completely freaked out. And all of a sudden, all that preparation is blowing up in your face because a circumstance changed or you're deathly afraid you're going to forget something. Mm-hmm. And it's how can I quickly get you back so that you can leave that baggage, literally or figuratively, outside the door of wherever you're walking in. And that's the sort of thing I specialize in. When I say I also utilize a pillar in physicality, I'm the last person to be teaching, you know. But what I mean is using the last person. But what I teach and what has worked is the way to use your body, whether you're seated, like in a voiceover session, the way mm-hmm. that it's the ability to be able to, from the very simplest, when your fourth grade teacher would tell you like to sit up straight and put your shoulders right. Well, you sound a certain way effortlessly. Mm-hmm. When you do that and the old put a smile on your face, things happen effortlessly. And that's the physicality that I'm teaching, training, that is demonstrated and proven. The third pillar is connection. Mm-hmm. If you can't connect with somebody, you will never get them to do anything. Never.
Good point.
You know? And so whether, again, from voiceover, it is, if maybe you're talking to technically nobody, but you still have to connect to somebody.
Well, that's the trick, right? Like, that's where the acting comes in.
Yeah.
Because often you're sitting in a booth with headphones on and a microphone in your face, and it's the most unnatural thing that you've ever had to do in your life, and you have to sound natural.
So
yeah.
You know how many times I've been told, to dial back the announcery part. And it is almost endless. And I want to say to people is like, I'm just talking. Right. Yeah. Well, I know it needs to sound more conversational.
But that's the danger of having a nice voice.
Mm-hmm. It gets you nowhere
definitely.
Sometimes.
And I have had this same issue myself, so I understand.
Jody, and you've got a great voice and you sing and speak. You're right. But sometimes people want to literally take the translation to, I can only pay attention if my best friend so-and-so is saying it.
Yeah.
My best friend so-and-so from Long Island. And you're like, oh, yeah, but I, never mind.
So I never sound like that. Yeah.
I just don't have that in the toolbox. But what I say is, but the connection part everybody has.
Yes.
So everybody's capable, but are you doing it? So what I look at is ways that, again, coming from the closeted, people pleasing, you know, it's like, how could I really connect? Mm-hmm. And I've got a whole series of techniques that I've created and that I keep working on. And folks, the easiest way to say it is just allow yourself to be present. Just allow it. Don't, well, what if, and take them out for at least the time you're in the room with someone.
Mm-hmm.
Take them all back when you're done. You know what I mean? Every quirk, every, you know, paranoid, like whatever, take them all back, but not during the conversation.
Yeah.
You know?
So, John, how can people get in touch with you?
Thank you. The easiest way for me is this wildly creative company name and website that I have, which is called DuffinMedia.com.
Okay. It works.
It happened to. No thanks to me, but I was like, I like Duffin Media. But it is Duffin Media, one word, no dots, no dashes, no nothing. DuffinMedia.com is the easiest because all of my social media profiles happen to be there. I, on my YouTube channel, and it's easier just to go to my website because it's all right there. Just click it. On my YouTube channel, you will see my podcasts. I host the podcast Your Message Received. I'm right now at about 135 episodes and very and climbing. Thank you. And climbing, which I'm very grateful for. My podcast is there in video form. My coaching is there. You will get so many clips right there. Just go use them. You know what I mean? It's just easier. Just go use them and have fun with them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And hope they work for you. But my content, my YouTube channel is fairly heavy with content. But to answer your question directly, go to the website. And from business perspectives, I'm a big LinkedIn guy. I just am. So I would say if you don't feel like going to my website, no worries. Go to my LinkedIn profile. And I promise I'm not going to go hunt you down.
I like LinkedIn a lot myself.
They're my two favorites. I use them the most. I engage the most. I like them the most. So anyway, those would be my best two.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking with me about the really wonderful point of communication, which, I mean, there's a lot to unpack there, but I think we learned some really interesting things. Aww. And thank you for sharing your perspective. I appreciate it.
Jody, you're awesome. And I love your energy and I really, and your professionalism. I really, really appreciate that. So yeah, I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time.